Hey everyone, it's Steve Mileto, and this week's show we have a third grade teacher talking about learning centers and using mini whiteboards for formative assessment. Not only do we have an awesome show, but I also wanted to let you know that we've reached a milestone. This is episode 15. Yeah, wow, how did we get to 15 already? I don't know, but it's been fun and here we are and we're getting better with each one. I hope you enjoy today's show. Thanks for listening and here we go.
Welcome to the Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 podcast, bringing you ideas and resources for K-12 classrooms, schools, and school districts. Hosted by Steve Mileto. And now, here's Steve with this week's show.
Hey, it's Steve. I'm back here again with Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12. .com. Today I'm with Ms. Kimora Crafton, who's a third grade teacher at Saxon Heights Elementary School in Dublin City, Georgia. Say hi to everybody.
Hello.
Ah, excellent. All right. Well, first what I'd like to do is, because today we're going to focus a little bit on, I got to see you teach and I got to see you use the some cool learning centers, and then I saw you using some mini whiteboards. And so we're going to focus on that in just a little bit. But what I'd like you to do first is just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Hello, my name is Ms. Kimora Crafton, and I'm a 2007 graduate of Georgia Southwestern State University. This is currently my seventh year of teaching, and I'm a teacher at Saxon Heights Elementary. I started off with my first year in Douglas, Georgia as a first grade teacher, later transferred back to my hometown, which is Dublin, and I've been here for 6 years. I started off in second grade, taught second grade 3 years, and this is currently my third year and third.
Excellent, excellent. So with that being said, now I got to tell you, when I was in your room, I was in your classroom, I was here visiting the school back before the holidays, and when I came to visit your room, I saw you shift into learning centers. And but before we get into that, what I want to talk about is I also noticed that you'd received some recognition for teaching. I was wondering if you'd talk about that award real quick.
Okay, great. 2 years ago, I had the special honor or privilege of having a student actually write a letter to 13 WMAZ. And this letter was pretty much saying how great of a teacher I was to her and how I was very, very helpful. And her letter was actually nominated, and they came down, and I was surprised with a plaque and a letter from the student telling me how much they appreciated me. Very, very unexpected honor, but it just made me feel so good to know that the work that you do does not go unnoticed.
That's excellent. That's excellent. It's neat when kids do something like that, because that's what we're here for. That's what we do, and that's we're here for them. And it's neat when you.
It was a special honor.
That's awesome. I bet it was very humbling. Very humbling.
Thing I've ever received.
That's excellent. Let's talk about that visit to your class that day. It was exciting. The kids were very focused. They were engaged, and we're going to come back to that word in just a minute. But you divided them up. You said, okay, it's now time to get to the stations, to the centers, and so what I want you to talk to me a little bit about is you used learning centers that day, and you had several different areas that they knew where they were going. They went there, and it didn't take much time at all. You didn't have a there was no downtime. The transition was beautiful, and they went there, and actually a couple of them you had to kind of slow down a second because they weren't going where they needed to go, and you helped them get there. So tell me a little bit about your use of learning centers, if you would.
Okay, well, as you can see, it was a regular routine in the classroom, and I always start out with whole group instruction. And the learning center is pretty much for me to give the kids more individualized instruction. The small group time has really been the greatest factor in the classroom, if I must say, to help kids, especially struggling kids with different skills. It gives me a chance to actually see exactly what the students are struggling with, ways to help those students, and I can also incorporate some higher order thinking for those students who are needing some enrichment opportunities.
Oh, that's excellent. Let me go into something that you mentioned there. You talked about specifically that it gives you feedback. It lets you know something. And so when you get that feedback, what do you do with it? When you notice that someone's struggling in this area and that they need some help?
It's a numerous amount of things that I'm doing. I enjoy searching the internet for various activities to use. I use different books. I talk to former teachers, some of my other colleagues, retired teachers. So I'm always looking to other sources to get help as to how I can help kids exceed or excel in their learning activities.
That's excellent. I know one thing. They were real excited, and I noticed you using, you know, you were trying to find out, you were using it as, and you know, right now there's a emphasis on in our profession formative assessment, and that's what you were doing. You had created different types of formative assessments. You weren't grading it. You're getting information back from them, and it was awesome. And to see the kids just really excited about it, mm-hmm. and I got this. Now I'm going to come back to that word engagement, because what I saw were the kids quickly going, all right, we get to go do this or we get to go do that. Mm-hmm. And that's what you want. They couldn't wait to get started. The kids who are working with you on the whiteboards, they had their whiteboards, they got the marker out, and they're like, go ahead, give it to me. Tell me a little bit about you and making the class engaging.
Okay. It's not the easiest task by far. But what I did notice as I continued to teach, that a lot of kids don't get it just sitting at their seat. And that led me to do the learning centers. And I had to think of different kind of things that would get them engaged in their activities. So we did things like the whiteboards that you mentioned, and we did pull in the games. And we the third graders are very competitive, so a lot of times we do games where they compete to see who can get the most points. We do a lot of partner work, because they like working with their peers. Just anything to take it away from just sitting at their desk and listening to the teacher, because I think their attention span is no longer than 10 minutes for most of them.
Well, they are third grade, too, and that's it's like, come on, you got to show me. We got to do, and got to do is a good part of that. So in some of the activities that they're doing, and we talk about engagement, let's now go specifically to the whiteboards, all right? And what I want to talk about with those whiteboards is, I noticed that you were doing math that day, I believe, and right. You had them work a problem, and then they had to show it to you. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now one of the things that I'm working with people is trying to show them how, you know, kids immediately, they want to write on those boards. Mm-hmm. Can you just talk a little bit about what you were doing, what, you know, not specifically that class day, but the whole idea of those whiteboards and what you're working with them on?
The whiteboards is for me to get immediate feedback. I mean, even if we're playing a game and I ask the kids the right answer, I can automatically tell, you know, if they have the wrong answer, then that child needs help with that particular skill. And it's just so engaging. I mean, it takes away from having to write it down on notebook paper. Anytime they can get out those whiteboards and those markers, it really gets the wheels turning. And it creates a powerful, engaging activity for the kids.
When they get to be, to be kind of in control, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of neat because they had those markers out and they're like, go ahead, like I said before, hit me. It's like, bang, I'm ready to go. And, you know, it's just kind of funny because they were all set. And
anything where they can not write on notebook paper, they're excited.
And what was neat was that I watched you as they worked on it. Then you made sure that you looked at each one and they had to show it to you. And, you know, and I'm guessing that, because it seemed obvious that what you were doing is you're looking to see, because then you gave feedback to ones who didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
And so the big picture of this is that what does it help you as the teacher with?
What does it help me with? Oh, a lot of things. Immediate feedback helps me with that. It helps me with assessment. It's one of the biggest things that it helps me with. It helps me with my lesson plans and which direction I need to go or what I need to go back to, and certain skills that I may need to reteach, or there may be a time where I may need to make it harder.
Gotcha.
Some critical thinking skills in there, because I have had some students that, well, actually I have some now, that require those higher order thinking skills. So having the whiteboards there and having them sit around the table kind of lets me get a good picture of where the kids are as far as their academic level.
Excellent. Yeah, that's the great thing. And kind of going back to something you said in the beginning, mm-hmm. you talked about it allows you to individualize instruction. Right. And all of what you're talking about there is exactly that. You try and figure out how to help them, mm-hmm. and you got to have that feedback. Tell me a little bit about the challenges that you face on a daily basis. What sort of challenges do you face in working with the kids?
I would have to say my biggest challenge is getting the kids motivated. I mean, with that, you have the learning centers, which a lot are motivated by that, but if we ever have to go back to the sea and do work, getting the kids to be motivated by everything that they're learning in school. And another big challenge is the behavior, keeping the behavior under control so the kids can get a good quality education.
Do you have one group of kids all day, or do you do an individual subject? And in some elementary schools, the teacher for a third grade class may teach, specialize in math and science, and others English, or do you do all subjects? You wish?
I do wish I could do just one or two, but I teach all of them. I do have another teacher that comes in at certain times of the day, and she assists other kids with work that they may need.
Gotcha. Do you notice is that kind of a neat sort of interaction where you have, I know when I was a teacher, I was on an inclusion team in a high school, and one of the neat things is that the kids would tell their parents, hey, I got two teachers. I don't know why, but I got two teachers. And it was kind of a neat thing because it kind of broke some of the stigmas that might exist otherwise.
Right. And it's a big help because when she's in there, it's only two inclusion kids that are actually supposed to be served, but she's a great help for the others as well because I have some that are low-performing students, and she's always pulling them out and going over certain skills with them as well. So having that other person to come in to help assist kids is a great asset to the classroom.
Excellent, excellent. If you had your druthers and it didn't matter the money, if there was plenty of money, okay, I'm maybe a fantasy here, but, what would you really, really like to have in that class that would help you with the kids?
An iPad for every student. I'm just real big on technology. I believe today's society of kids are driven by any kind of technology. I mean, just mention the things that I mentioned for Christmas, almost everybody in the room got some form of technology, whether it was a tablet or an iPad or iPod. So if we could have an iPad for every student, I think that would be a great access to the classroom.
That's excellent. Do you notice that when they get to use the technology that they're pretty comfortable
yes.
with it? You know, it's funny because I know that if you go back just not so many years ago, but, kids already developing the skills in the mouse and stuff like this way before the adults, and now it's way beyond that right. where they have the ability to do everything from mm-hmm. Apps and tablets and phones and
they probably know how to work it better than we do.
Excellent, excellent. So tell me a little bit, just kind of we're getting close to wrapping this up, and tell me what made you become a teacher.
Well, actually, I started off wanting to become a veterinarian from kindergarten on up to maybe 10th grade. I had always said I want to be a veterinarian. I just love animals. We had plenty of dogs at the house, and I was just so enthused with them. Well, in the 10th grade, I ended up getting a summer job at the Loft, which is an after-school program that's here in Dublin. It also was a summer program, and I was working with 5 and 6 year olds there, and I just discovered that I loved that so much. So when I had the chance to go off to school, I decided to major in education to become a teacher.
Oh, excellent. Go ahead.
I also enjoy helping other people, and I enjoy being around kids.
Excellent. That's, it's something that, and by the way, we're in a library, and so that's why you're hearing other noises. So just thought I'd explain that. One of the things that, what's funny is that at one point, when I was little, I wanted to be a veterinarian.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got a job in one, and I went, oh, my gosh, it's too sad. I instead of all happy things that I thought with animals,
right.
I saw animals. I'm like, I don't think I can do this. You know, after all, I cry at Dumbo and Bambi and stuff like that. So I was like, I don't think this is for me.
I know. And my dad was always saying, you know what? It's more than just dogs and being a veterinarian. And when he got to talk about snakes and horses and pigs and cows, I quickly changed my mind.
That's funny. Is there anything that you'd like to talk about that I haven't mentioned yet?
Trying to think. No, nothing in particular. I just enjoy what I do. It can be a challenging career, but the greatest reward is seeing those kids excel, not just in the academics, but in life.
That's excellent. You know, I got to tell you, I enjoyed watching your class that day. I left and I was telling everybody about what you were doing and working with the kids. And I talked to your principal and to John, and I was saying, hey, can I talk to her about talking with me for the podcast? And you were just very energetic. The kids were all excited. They were engaged. And, you know, and it was an exciting visit. It was neat to see them really doing and getting involved. And on top of that, there you had the learning centers, and you're using formative assessment, things that I teach about, and you had those little mini whiteboards, and you're getting that feedback and talking to them and helping correct, and I love all that. So, Kamora, I appreciate you meeting with us today. It's great. Thank you for taking the time, and have a wonderful rest of the school year.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for coming.
You're welcome. Take care now.
Hello, listeners. We want to remind everyone to check out all of our digital content at teachinglearningleadingk12.com. That's teachinglearningleadingk12.com. You can also find our podcast on iTunes. Just search Teaching Learning Leading K-12 in the iTunes store. Check back often for updates and new material.
You have been listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, recorded in Eastman, Georgia, at the Heart of Georgia Precinct.